All right, good morning. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. We're going to just look at a few things to do with fathers and leadership this morning, and what are some good examples Scripture gives us of, as men, what we should be doing in the home as we're raising children and having them have an opportunity to have what's best for them without us hopefully getting in the way. So we're going to look at Joshua chapter 23 and a little bit of 24 today. That is just where Joshua, as he led everybody into the promised land, and he's now going, he's on his deathbed basically, and what he is going to say as far as his words to the Israelite people, and what we can take and pull out of that as fathers with some encouragement and some advice and just some leadership that he left as he was ready to depart. So if you want to just turn to Joshua chapter 23, Eric, I'll have it on the board. We're not going to follow exactly through it. We're going to kind of jump around between 23 and 24, so it might work better to have it in front of you. So just do that. I want to thank you, because I can see this morning, to the Lefebvre crew for having a light back here. I can actually see what we've got this morning. So we'll just take a moment, examine the state of your soul. If there's anything in the way that needs cleaned up, just repent of that. Turn around, just clean that rebellion up. Whatever it is that we're basically being hostile against the things of God and the nature of God. What is that we need to bring before Him and clean up? That way you can be rewarded and blessed for showing up this morning, because isn't that, as we always say, isn't that a point of coming, is to learn, to see what He has for you, to see what you can do to strengthen your relationship with Him, to know Him more, to hear Him speak. And you can't do that if you've got sin standing in the way. And so the opportunity He gives us to confess and turn those sins back over to Him is 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that gives us an opportunity for the Spirit to work in you, to be able to communicate and help you with whatever it is that you're seeking this morning. So we'll just take a moment and then we'll open up. Father, we do thank You for the opportunity to come together this morning. We thank You that in the midst of Father's Day, as we just reflect upon just being parents, being fathers, having fathers, just raising children and just all the different things that we learn, good and bad, from our fathers, that we know that we have the ultimate father figure in heaven as You sit there and guide us and direct us. And You've left us all the instruction we need to be able to guide us and lead us through this life, and that we have that as an example to be able to portray to our children. So we thank You that You love us, that You truly care for us, no matter what our father figure on earth looks like. We know that You truly care for us and desire us and just never leave us nor forsake us. So I thank You that we always have You to be able to rely on and turn to in the time of need. We just want to pray for the nation of Israel, as everything that's going on over there now, that we know that the enemy is much bigger than just a physical force on this earth that's trying to eliminate Israel and Your people. We know that Satan himself wants to destroy them. He wants to make You a liar. He wants to just be able to try and show the world that You're not real, that You're not true, and that Your prophecies and Your truths and Your promises will not happen. So we pray that that they are able to withstand the forces, that they are able to just fight off that evil. We know that in the end You win anyway, that it's a fight, that it's a battle that You've already conquered. So we just pray for all the ones that are involved with that You may just strengthen them, You may encourage, You may protect them. We just pray for our country as well, as it just seems there's so much opposition and just evil amongst our country that's still coming out and being exposed, and just things that are contrary to who You are. I just pray for our administration, that we can continue to just have an administration that's focused on You, that they can not be pushing personal agendas. They cannot be in there to do just things that are personal gain, but they may just do what's right for the people, being led by you, being guided by you, and just know that it's not their authority that matters, but it's yours. So we just pray for our nation and our country this morning. We do want to pray for Vi, as she's not able to join us, that just the pain that she has in her shoulder, that you may just comfort her. You may take that pain and just take care of it for her. For Kim, we just pray that you may just help heal her and her knee, that it can allow the doctors to just do a thorough inspection on her and just get her healed up as well. And we just thank you for our morning this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I was reading a friend of ours out in Pennsylvania. He's a very intelligent person. Sometimes his stuff's even hard to read because it's just above my level. I'm pretty simple and it's out there. But he and someday maybe you'll get to meet him. He's really cool. We're going to actually go out and participate in the youth camp, and it was kind of funny. He's pretty intelligent, and I've known him for 3-4 years now, and Hallie and I have, and he made the comment, "I think you'd be really good for the kids." And I'm like, "What are you trying to say? My level's here and your level's there. What are you getting at?" But I was reading one of his writings he shares this morning, and he had a comment in it, or a section in it, that said, speaking of fathers, "And you will answer not only what you taught, but for what you also permitted." And that's something that that made me contemplate some things and say, you know, as dads and fathers, our kids are always seeking after learning from us. I mean, we can pick that up. You look at your dads, I look at my, what is it that I've learned in my childhood and in life to be able to pick up from our fathers? What are they teaching us? And we're going to be held accountable for that, not just in the lives of our children from what they turn around and what they're going to do from the things that we've taught them, but what have we permitted them to do as well? And sometimes that's something that, as the world instructs us as parents, you can just say, well, you let the kid be their, let them be themselves. Let them have, when they get older and they have their own opportunity to know who Jesus is, to start a relationship with him, to get into some sort of religion or whatever that is, they turn and they say, well, I'm just going to leave whatever they want to have faith in, I'm going to leave that up to them. They're big enough. They're old enough now. I'll make them let their own decision. I'll just, you know, as long as they're doing something, as long as they believe in something, I'm okay. I don't know what it's like. I'm staying out of their life. I'm not going to be involved with that. And we're doing a disservice to our children by doing that, by not guiding them, by not encouraging them, by not speaking the truth to them. We're supposed to be able to guide our kids in the way of the truth. And so when we're thinking about this and looking this story of Joshua, it just popped up to say, what is it that, because especially as when our kids are in our house and our families in our house, as we're men and we're leading our wives and our children and our family and our household, and we're in the function of that, the verse that popped in my head is, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." And I think sometimes that can get taken a little bit out of context. And when we look at the context of what Joshua is talking about when he makes that comment, I think it really elevates the father to a need, the need of the leadership that it pulls a father to, that a father needs to be held to, the things that he needs to communicate, the things that he needs to say. And we're gonna look at that with Joshua on three different things that he infers and says as he goes through this. But the question that I then that this brought to my mind was, do I care enough for my children to protect them from the evil? And naturally, right away, men especially were like, well, yeah, duh. I'm going to protect my children. Why wouldn't I? I'm going to stand up for my wife. I'm going to stand up for my family. Why wouldn't I do that? But I wanted to go deeper than a physical sense of protection. And I make the comment always, like with Hallie, that I am being her spouse, being her leader of her spiritual life as well, in the household, is I got to be concerned for the state of her soul as well. What is it that I am allowing her to be maybe involved with? Where am I shepherding her? Where am I leading her? What am I leading her through? Do we read together? Do we pray together? Am I involved in her spiritual life in a way of building that up? That's something that I need to be, when we, just like with Grant and Morgan, when we did those vows for the wedding, that's something that now, as a husband and wife, that you should be, those two things mix now. Your spiritual life, yes, it's separate, it's your own relationship, but as a husband and wife, those are now meant to mix together. Those are things that now you're going to be concerned with one another about. You have to look at, you have to study together, you pray together, you pray together, you learn who God is together in your marriage, and that's what's going to hold your marriage together and be able to be that glue, if you will, that holds everything together. So the spiritual side of leadership from a father is massive. And that's something that we can see, and we can point fingers, we can do the blame game or whatever with all of the kids and all the problems that we see in this world today is, what is it from the lack of leadership, from a true mentor of a father, from the that they were missing? You know, was there something that was missing within that that they didn't get as a child that could have helped them throughout all the problems that they're up against and where they're at now? And so when I say, do I care about the evil that is around my family, that is around my children, I need to be able to look at that from the real spiritual sense of saying that spiritual warfare is real. That is something that I, looking at my kids, as soon as, here's the crazy thing, as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have now entered into the realm of spiritual warfare, whether you want to or not. You are there. You now have an enemy against you. That means that enemy is going to not only be against you, but everything that's around you. Everything that you're involved with. That means your kids. That's your household. It's your wife. Your kids. Your workings of your home. All of the stuff that just falls in line, and now all that's against you. All that's going to play in the battle, if you will. Because if we don't know who Jesus is, obviously the spiritual warfare is irrelevant. They have nothing to keep us from because they're already keeping us from wanting to know who Jesus is. So as soon as we cross that line and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, you're immediately introduced into the spiritual warfare. So that is something that we need to recognize, is that is real. That's something that 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I read that and I think, you're going after my kids. That's what you're doing. You're going to go after my kids. You're going to go after my spouse. You're going to go after my relationship, my marriage. You're going to go after all of that stuff to devour it, to destroy it. That's what he wants to do. That's his goal, is to be able to destroy it. Revelation 12:9, verse 9 says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. That's what he's going to do. To be able to devour my relationships, to be able to devour my life, it's going to be deception. That's how he's going to do it. What is it that he's going to deceive my kids with? What is it that he's going to deceive my wife with? What is he going to deceive my leading in my household with? And we can look at the world today and we can come up with all sorts of examples and practical applications of what is happening in marriage today and relationships today and in households that are causing them to be devoured. Look at the divorce rate of what it is. Look at the children with single parent homes. It's massive. It's huge. So we know that's real. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if we got to resist him, if God is telling us to resist him, that's obviously information for us that he's out there to get us. Think of it that way. He's saying, I'm telling you that you got to be able to resist him. Because he's a real force. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. So we look at that and we say, okay, what is that? When we're not doing the things that we're supposed to be, what are the desires? He was a murderer from the beginning, so he murdered from the beginning. He does not stand in truth. There's no truth in him. He lies. He speaks out of his own character, for he's a father. He's the father of lies. So we look at that and we say, if that's his character, and that's the enemy that's against me, is the lying, all the things that are false, the people that are harmful, that are evil, that are all of this stuff that's against the nature of God, that's the enemy. 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. So God's given us information to not be outwitted, okay? Because he's an angelic created being. He's far more intelligent than you and I So he can go in and he can cause all this disruption. All of this devouring can take place and it's real. And God says, I'm going to give you the tools so you're not outwitted in this situation. Because since you have me, since you have the information I left you, you're going to have far more power. Even though he was created a more powerful being, you're going to be far more powerful with my power that I give you when you get into a relationship with me. So when we look at this and we say, this is real. The evil in this world is real. This is what I want as a father. When I look at my three little girls, I want to be able to keep them to say, what is it that I am teaching them? Not only teaching them, but what am I permitting them, allowing them to be involved with? Well, they're just kids. Let them be kids. I can't be a strict ruler. No, we can't. There is freedoms that they have to do and learn, but there's certain things that we can't stray from. Certain things like who God is. Certain things like the truth of God, a relationship with Him, the importance of it. Those are the things that we can't stray from. Those are the things that our children need to grow up learning. They need to grow up seeing in you as parents, as a relationship, as a father. They need to be able to look at those things and say, that is what I am looking up to. Those are the things that I think are natural. Our kids are only going to do the things that they think are natural in life. And you can look at your kids and you can see how unnatural you are. Right? I look at my kids and they say, well, if that's their habit, that means my habit's bad. Because that's their habit. Where are they getting that habit from? They're watching me. So we can look at our kids and we can say, what needs to be adjusted? What do I need to reflect upon and maybe think about? What do I need to ponder about maybe changing? How do I need to act? Maybe does my attitude need to be different? Do I need to be able to be a different figure for them in this household rather than what they're growing up to be right now that I'm getting to witness with my own eyes? If I don't like it, if I don't like the way they act, or I can say, hey, do they have an old sin nature? Obviously, yes. Are they going to sin? Obviously, yes. But if it becomes a lifestyle and a habitual problem, what is it that needs to change in them that probably needs to be reflected upon the leader of the house, right? So fathers, that's our job. What is it that we need to do in our house to be able to lead, guide, and direct our children in the way of the Lord? So Joshua tells, if you can just turn to chapter 23, we'll just read for a little bit. Now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side. So they got into the promised land. And we're just to plug Wednesday nights. This is kind of what we're talking about on Wednesday nights is we're working through the Exodus as the Israelites are going through the desert and some different things that God is doing with them. So this is after all of that and they're into the promised land. Verse 2, that Joshua called for all of Israel, for their elders, their heads, their judges, their officers, and said to them, I'm old and advanced in years. So he's bringing the leadership in. Here's the leader bringing leadership in because he knows the importance and the good qualities of a leader. What information do these people need from their leaders? What type of information do I need to leave with these guys because they're going to be the ones that are going to be working with the people that are left? So I need to get my leaders, I need to get them on the same page. And he said to them, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations. Because of you, the Lord your God is he who has been because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have appointed to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess the land just as the Lord God promised you. He says in verse 6, but be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods or make anyone swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. So they say, well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? That God says, excommunicate from these people. I'm going to go on and I'm going to drive them out. Do we get the purpose of when God was telling these people to go through the promised land or go to it and they were going through the wilderness? And do you remember when the 10 spies went out and only Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, They're all panicking and saying, we can't overtake this land. We can't go in. There's giants. They'll kill us. They're too big. And here God's instructing them to go in and do it. Yet they're like, we don't want to do that. Well, why did God want to push these people out in the first place? Isn't that kind of cruel and harsh of God? That he wanted to get rid of people? Well, it's because he knew of the corruption that would take place. He knew that they were full of idol worshiping. They had false gods. Their lifestyles would do nothing but take the Israelites. And that's why he says you don't marry them. You don't get involved with them. You just get rid of them because you're not going to be able to be saved from that idolatry that they possess. Meaning, I'm not going to be the true God anymore. You're going to put somebody else in my place. We say, well, how is that possible? Remember, prior to Jesus coming to the cross and the Holy Spirit, there was no Holy Spirit like you and I have. So don't get, it's easy to get judgmental when we look at the Old Testament and say, how did these people make that decision? How are they so stupid in what they did? How did they think like this? Remember, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like you and I do. It did not reside in them. So when God's saying this, God obviously knows that. And he's like, I don't have that helper, that guide with you, other than the ones like Moses and Aaron and Joshua, the ones that are giving you my word and giving you my instructions. I'm not residing with you, so I know what's best for you, obviously. Don't go get involved with these people. Let me just get rid of them. Let me push them out. That way there's not that hindrance against you. So Joshua tells the Israelites in verse 8, he says then, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. So we need to let children know what it looks like to follow the Lord. That's our job as fathers. What does it look like to follow in him? Obviously, there's pros and cons. There's pros and cons in every situation that we make, right? Do we need to let our children know when they get older and they're going to experience some things? That when they get into high school, they get into the college, that there might be pros and cons? Well, what's the pros? Obviously, walking with Christ through our life. We've covered that for the last how many months we're talking about, what that real relationship looks like. What's that benefit of following him to being able to have him guide, lead, and direct us? But then what would be the con? We got to be honest with our kids. What's the con? The world's going to hate you. So don't be surprised when you go to school and you get made fun of. Don't be surprised when you go to college and you're completely opposite than everybody else that's there trying to get you to do things or say things or act a certain way or do certain things. If I choose to follow Jesus and live his way by his principles, standards, and values, it is 100% opposite than that of the world. So you need to be ready for that. Do you know how to combat that? Are we teaching our children how to combat that evil in the world? Because they're going to experience it. As soon as they leave your house and underneath your care, they're going to step out into that spiritual warfare that is going to tell them that they're wrong, that Jesus is fake, that there's no such thing as God, that you can do whatever makes your heart feel happy. Whatever emotion you want to chase, go ahead and chase it. You deserve to be happy. You deserve this easy, prosperity-filled life with no problems, no issues. Well, I'm permitting my child to believe a lie by not telling them the truth. So yes, I need to tell my child the good things, the value of walking with Jesus and having a relationship with him, but I also need to be able to tell them that the world is going to come at you for that. We need to help build them up. We need to help give them the tools to be able to combat that. Because when they're not with you, you can't be there anymore. Are they going to have the tools necessary to withstand the evil that's in this world? And we say, well, they're a kid. They'll figure it out. It's their own life. Shame on me for not teaching them the right way to be able to withstand that. How do you withstand that? Do we know? Well, it's the Word of God. That's what Joshua is going to tell us. He's what he said. Don't forsake the book of Moses, the law of Moses, the things that he wrote down. What would that be? The Word of God. So if I'm not taking these principles, standards, and values, and if I'm not integrating them into my child's life, when they walk out from my care, they're toast. Because I did not give them the tools necessary. I did not provide them with the tools necessary to be able to withstand the enemy. That's my job as a parent. That is what God made me a father for. That's the leadership role that he's placed on us as men. To be able to say, I'm not just there for your physical protection. I'm here for your spiritual protection as well. And that's something that the church has ruined, because the church is full of women anymore, it seems like. The women, you go to a normal, not this church, you go to a normal church, and where is it? Everybody that does stuff within the church is women, women, and women. And I'm not being sexist against women, but I'm saying men have taken the back seat from the spiritual side of life. If somebody wants to talk to something spiritual, when's the last time you went to your dad? Why is that? Well, has your father accepted the spiritual role, being the spiritual leader in the home? I don't know. That's a question that you have to answer. Not saying that a woman can't be prepared for it, obviously. I'm not saying that. Okay? But the role that God has designed a man to do is to be not only the physical leader of the home, but the spiritual leader of the home. So that is something, men, that you have to own. You have to stand up and say, I am the one who God has designed to do this, designated to do this. I need to be able to place this information in me, so when I go to lead my family, I'm leading them in the correct way. I'm not leading them in the ways of the world, because the pros and cons you're going to have for standing up and leading your family correctly, it's going to be no different than what your kids face. There's going to be pros. There's going to be cons. What are the cons going to be? You're going to have some hostility against you, possibly. You're going to have some people in the world think, why are you so involved with your family's life? Why are you doing whatever it may be? There's goofy things that the world's going to throw at you to try to get you to trip, to stumble, to ensnare you, to trap you from doing that. So, what was the promised land? We've heard of the promised land, that when Moses went into Egypt to Pharaoh, took them out, and he told all the people, God has promised us this land. God promised us this place to go. I'm taking you out of captivity, and we're going to go there. So what is the promised land? It's a place of peace, a place of rest, protection, and freedom. So that's what we're gonna look at that. Whenever we say the promised land, it's peace, rest, protection, and freedom. That's not what they had when they were in Egypt, right? They were slaves, so they didn't have any of that. Does the benefit of walking with Christ outweigh the insults from the world? Because when I walk with Christ, I go to that land that He has promised me. I have peace, rest, protection, and freedom. Does that overweigh the insults that the world's going to throw at me? Because the world's going to tell me I need to go back to Egypt. I need to go back into bondage. I need to live like the world. I need to live underneath of whatever that evil heading, we're just going to say Egypt as a whole, that evil worldly heading is. They're going to tell you that's where you need to stay in bondage. So I need to look at it and say, does following Christ in my life, does that outweigh living in bondage, living under that evil Egypt? Can flip to chapter 23, verse 16. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you. You will perish quickly from the good land which He has given you. So if we choose to remove ourselves from this protection, this promised land that we're in, if we choose to remove ourselves from that, we're in disobedience to Him. And He has no choice but to remove us from this promised land. If I choose to remove, He'll remove me. If I say, I don't want to be there, I want to be back in Egypt, just as what the people mumbled and grumbled about all through the wilderness. I want to go back. Did you just bring us out here to die? Why are we here? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want back. I just put me back. God's going to say, okay, go back. You want to go back? Go back. He knows what He's keeping us from. Because when we're back under that power of Egypt, underneath of that evil authority, we're slaves to the world. We're in bondage to the things of the world. These are the things that we need to be able to protect our children from. How can I make sure that they don't keep grumbling like the Israelites walking through the desert saying they want to go back? I want to go back. How can I, as their father, not permit them to do that? Isn't that what I want them to be able to do? So there's three things that Joshua tells the Israelites. And Moroni tells him what God has done. And that's chapter 23, verse 3. It says, "And you have seen all that the Lord God has done." Well, you remember all through the wilderness, look at all the different things. He hid them from the Egyptians as they were chasing them. He led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud of dust during the day. He parted the Red Sea. Two different times he provided water. He provided food. He provided protection. All of these miracles as they were wandering through the desert. And Joshua is saying, remember these. These are really important things to remember. You need to remember what it is that God has done. The same God who has accomplished things in the past can accomplish the things to come. God has never failed. God has driven out great and strong nations. God has driven out evil situations. These are the things that our kids, we need to remind them of in your life. Why is there value in the kids knowing that the hardships in your life that God has rescued you from? As kids, they look up to you, right? So if something rescued you, if you were too small to save yourself, they're going to look up to whoever saved you, right? What an opportunity we have to be able to glorify the good work that God has done in our life. If I can tell them what God has done for me, if I can show them the things God has done for me, they're going to have a better respect for who God is because they're going to know that I rely on God. I recall to them all of the situations that He's brought me through. They don't need to know all the details, all the ins and outs of everything, but the big picture of it, I was in trouble, I was in a dark valley, and guess what? God brought me through that. They're going to look at that and say, well, if God did that for you, He'll do it for me. Those are the things that are valuable when we're telling our kids the things that He's brought us through. Psalm 63, 6 through 7, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." So the more we see His rescues, the quicker we will turn to Him when the chaos strikes again. That's what we want our kids to see, because their lives are going to be full of chaos. This world is a hectic, evil, gross place. I want them to know that they go to God for help. I want them to know that underneath of His wings, the shadow of His wings are the protection that they seek. So, the more we see His rescues, the quicker we will turn to Him when chaos strikes again. We will train ourselves to seek protection under His guidance. So we tell them what God has done. Then we need to tell them what God has said. Joshua says, "Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses." And then he says, "And you're to cling to the Lord." Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word of God is the guidance to our life. If I'm not portraying that to my children, I am doing them a disservice. I'm allowing them, I'm permitting them to seek the answers of the world. If I'm not saying the Word of God is where you're going to get your guidance from, the Word of God is going to give you your instructions, the Word of God is where the principles and the values and the standards that your character needs to be based upon, if I'm not teaching them those things, I'm permitting them to be raised by the world. Which we read in the beginning, what is the world? It's evil. It's full of lies, deceit, all the ugly stuff. But that's okay. I'm just going to step back and let my kid raise it. They're a big kid. You know, they'll figure it out themselves. Sure, they will. But am I giving them the information to be able to make a choice to know right from wrong? To know what God says versus the world. Am I giving them that opportunity? That's how we need to look at it as fathers. What information am I giving my child so when they're faced with the situation, what are they going to lean on? The things that I've taught them through the Word that God says, or the things of the world. So we need to tell them what God has said. And then we need to turn around and we can tell them what God will do. That's a very important one. What will God do with you? What will God leave you? No, because His Word says that He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Will He unlove you? No. Will He forget about you? No. Will He forgive you? Yes. Will He fight for you? Yes. Does He go before you? Yes. Does He stand behind you sometimes, protecting you from the evil? Yes. What are the things that I'm telling my kids when they go out there? Joshua says that one of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is He who fights for you, just as He promised. A good leader also gives the instructions to accomplish these things. So we tell them what God has done, we tell them what God has said, and we tell them the things that God will do. And then as leaders, as fathers, how are they going to accomplish this? Chapter 24, verse 23. Now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Put away the false idols in our life. If I need to tell them what God has done, they're going to look for an excuse to say, well, it was only by happen chance or by luck that this happened to me, or because of the things that I have done in my life that this result was. I'm only going to accomplish these things by what people tell me, from what the world tells me, what I learned in school, the things I learned in college, the things I told myself. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do all these things through my own power. I don't need a God. I don't need somebody to save me. I don't need help in this situation. What do I need the Holy Spirit for? I can figure it out myself. Those are idols that we are permitting our children. The number one idol in our life against God is ourselves. Those are the things that when we instill that into our children, and we let them become the God of their own life, they will fall prey to that. They will fall prey to having a false idol in the place of where God needs to be in their life. Because I permitted that. I did not instruct the child in the way of the Lord, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. What does that mean? That means that's what you're to do. You give them the information. You take them to church with you. You talk about stories in the Bible if they're little kids. You talk about real life situations with them and say, what is it that God did? They're a kid. They're human beings. We've had the same problems for all of the time we've been on earth. That means they're going through the same things that we went through. Or they're going to go through the same things we went through. We've been there. Just like God says He goes before us, guess what? You've been before your kids. Take the information and give it to them. And teach them. What did God do for you in that situation? How was that beneficial to you? What promise did you cling to that helped you? What promises do you say when you are in certain situations? Is there different Bible verses? Is there different things that God told you or brings to your memory when this affliction comes towards you, or this dark valley is here, or this good thing is here maybe? Maybe it's not all bad things. Maybe it's the good things too, because we don't want them to build false idols into something else. Let's let them see that the one true God is God, that it isn't something else. So what are we bringing to remembrance with our kids when we do that? It's keep them out of idolatry. If we can keep our kids out of idolatry, they'll take their eyes off themselves and the things of the world, because when they're their own king, that means they deserve whatever they want. So if we can keep them from having an idolatrous mind, they'll be able to stay focused on who God is because they'll look to Him for the one who supplies all of their needs. They won't say they're responsible to supply all their needs, or somebody in this world is, or this world itself, the system of this world is responsible to make me happy. They'll seek after the things of God. That is the goal of us as fathers. That is what we're called to do, is to be able to be a leader for our children. If we can, we say, we've been working with kids for over 10 years. And ever since we started, we got a year or two into it, and we said, the problem with these kids isn't the kids. How can we get to the parents? How can we get involved with the parents to be able to let them see they need a relationship with Jesus? They need to know what it looks like to walk with Him. They need to know what it looks like to live by His principles, standards, and values. Because if the parents do, the kids will be a direct result of that, and we won't have this shit mess with all these kids like we do. We won't have that problem. The problem with the kids is the lack of the parenting at home half the time. Not every time. Not going to put everything under that balloon, but the majority of the time, it's from the lack of leadership within the home. The parents are too busy living their own idolatrous life to say, I deserve this lifestyle. I deserve new vehicles, a swimming pool, all of this. I deserve this because I'll give it to my kid. They'll have a better life than I did when they grew up. What a disservice to our kids. We're not allowing them to see the hardships and the truth of life. We're teaching them that they should just get handed whatever they want. Why do you think we live in such a selfish, self-righteous America that we live in right now? It's a result of the way that generation after generation after generation has failed in leading in what a home should be. In leading children up in the way of the Lord to show them, no, you abide by the character of God. By His principles, His standards, His values, not your own. It's what God says. That's the life that you live. He's the one that you call upon in the trouble. He's the one you call upon in the valley. He's the one that you call upon when times are tough. Quit looking for all of these other ways to fill that void that God is saying, I'm here to fill. We need to teach our kids that they have a void. They have a void that needs filled. I, as a father, can't fill that void. I can give them the information and instructions to fill that void. I can provide them with the answer on how to fulfill that void. And that void is with a relationship with Jesus that's real. Only He can fill that void. But instead we'll just say, buy them this, buy them that, take them here, spoil them here, give them this, give them that. And pretty soon it's all these things of the world that they think tangible items now. This idolatry is the world. So as we go forth, me for my children is how can I look at my kids and the life that I am leading them through, how can I not permit idolatry in their life? How can I get them to turn and look at who God is instead of the things of life? So as fathers, I know that probably sounds like, I'm hoping it gives us something to think about. It does me. As children, as spouses, as everybody, it's a team effort with kids, as you know, as we know, that the spouse needs to be there alongside the helpmate in all of this stuff, because a lot of times like my wife, for example, is home more often with my kids than I am. So she needs to be able to play part in this as well. What is it that we're speaking to our kids? What is it that we're bringing them through? So anyway, I hope you can be encouraged by it, to be able to maybe look at our kids and look at, and you can say, well, I don't have any kids in the house. there's somebody in your life that you can be a leader to. There's somebody that's looking up to you. It may just be a spouse in your home that you are designated as a man, as a husband, to be able to be the leader of that household. That means your wife falls under that category too. Where are you at leading your wife spiritually? That's on you as a man. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you give us your instructions, just like what Joshua told the Israelites, that it is what you've written down for that instruction and the character. And the way you look at it is they were starting a nation from scratch. These were your ideas of how to best start a nation. These were the principles you said, this is what will work. This is what will not work when you bring people together and you have relationships. So I pray that we can look at your word. We can look at who you are, the character of you, the principles, standards, and values that you've left us to be encouraged, to be built up, to be able to own the leadership that we have, to be able to stand up in the face of this world that tells us we don't need to be leaders, to tell us that we can just let our kids and our loved ones just run rampant and that there's no repercussions for things. Allow us to do it with love. Allow us to be guided by you, to take any selfish motives out of anything. Let us just trust you in all things. We thank you. We love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.